Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to a very special episode of Space Trash.
Lost Souls, it's rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we are joined by a very special guest today. Sarah, do you want to do the honors?
Yes, she's a stand-up comedian. She's an actor. She's my friend. And you may know her from one or both of her two, like, literally, like, successful podcasts, How Come and Diet Starts Tomorrow. Can we act a little bit more like Remy's audience pod squad? The brilliant, the beautiful, blah, 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 Remy Casmer.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Yay, Remy. Thank you for joining us.
Now, Remy, I have actually been trying to share your theory the last 4 episodes.
What do you mean trying?
Well, because it's a long, I'm trying to abridge it.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is she, kind of like how she just did your intro, it starts exactly verbatim what you told her to say. Mm-hmm. And then it just turns into spaghetti and meatballs.
And fun.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have you because not only are you a fabulous podcaster, comic, and friend of mine, but also you posted a few weeks ago a stunning theory on the timeline of this scandal. Mm-hmm. It's the most academic assessment that I've seen so far of the VP. It was unbelievably good.
Thank you. I really treated it like a thesis.
No, it was the capstone project of your life.
It was the capstone project of my life.
Loved.
We are talking the VPR scandal today, just so people know. We're talking about
Scandoval.
Yeah, Scandoval. So, Remy, can you tell us what your theory was?
Okay, so the TLDR of the theory is I think Tom Sandoval has been planning this for way longer than we think the affair has been going on. I think he had a crush on Raquel, and I think that they at least had some conversation around or before Rachella, when James proposed to Raquel, that they were like, our partners aren't right for us. We need to get out of this. But Tom has been on the show for way longer. So I think he led the charge because he has already done this before, where he was already with one girlfriend and then cheated and seamlessly transitioned into the relationship with Ariana, which really like solidified his place as like a good guy to us. You know, like we were iffy about Tom, I think, at the beginning, but then he, I think, saw the public's response to how much they like Ariana. And he was like, well, I don't like her anymore. He's basically said that this entire season, he's been like attacking her mental health and all this shit. But, yeah, I think he was like, he basically said to Raquel, allegedly, this is all in my mind. But I think he said to her, we should be together. I've done this before. We'll be the new it couple. It'll be great. And she was like, oh my God, like, okay. You know, like Raquel is very malleable. And yeah, that's basically the long and the short of the theory.
It's so good.
But if you guys want to read the theory in full, it's on my Instagram. It's a hard post, which I hardly ever do.
Hard post.
It's a hard post. So you can see everything and you can see like my examples of whatever.
I love this theory because it's such an obvious, like to have an affair with a castmate for this long without thinking about like, what are you going to do? How's it going to play out? Mm-hmm. Would be like
That's the thing. I think he has been thinking about it.
I think he has. I think you're totally right. And I think what he said to Raquel, which is what you were sort of insinuating, like, I'll make you the star of this show. And like,
yes,
we'll move forward as the next couple for the next season.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I think it happened pre-James engagement, because he sunk so much money into that proposal to Raquel. And I thinking of it from like a media standpoint, you know, like he wants to bolster her position in the show. If she has a blowout fucking Coachella themed engagement and then an entire season dedicated to her relationship and her growing as a person and learning how to make a toast, she becomes more of a character. And then he was like, oh, we'll have her be strong, independent Raquel, because I don't know about you guys. I was riding for Raquel in the beginning of this. I was like, yes, single Raquel, like you got out of it. Like, congratulations, like go. And then if he had broken up with Ariana, if this had all gone according to plan, she would have had her single year. They would have had this year of turmoil where Tom reveals how toxic Ariana is and they break up right before the reunion and he says it wasn't working, da da da, whatever. Him and Raquel start dating and then they come back for next season and we're like, oh, this is so much better for him. And also like, yay, Raquel. Like,
yeah, there's two huge things that buttress this theory. Mm-hmm. And one of them is that he's still enacting the original plan that you're hypothesizing.
He can't get off script.
He keeps talking about how toxic Ariana was, how she called him stupid, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no one gives a shit.
How she didn't like his fashions.
Yeah. It's like, no one cares, dude.
She didn't compliment his fashions.
Right. Like, you don't get to cheat on her because of that. And then the second thing is, I was so shocked because Bravo, they definitely break the fourth wall way more now than they used to in the beginning. But this episode specifically,
bro, they break the fifth wall now.
Yeah.
They are referencing the internet.
They're like in my house.
Referencing posts that we have seen, like some of them are literally regurgitating content from the internet. I almost wanted to write like another thesis about like the internet is the fifth character in Vanderpump Rules this season. But like even Ariana has been like, oh yeah, I've seen a lot of theories on TikTok that actually make sense. And I'm like, oh, you've seen our theories?
We're famous. We're famous.
Yeah. Do you listen to Watch What Crappens? They always say there is an extra character named Sushal Madia in every Housewives.
Oh, and that's the internet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Social media. Sushal Madia.
Yeah. Sushal Madia.
Oh, social media. I'm so stupid. I was like, that's a really cool name, like in general.
Maybe Raquel's next name can be Sushal. It would be Rachel Raquel Sushal.
Sushal.
Yeah. This episode, the way that Ariana and Tom were both admitting to self-producing and holding back aspects of their relationship and coaching each other and being coached, my big thing that I was left wondering is like, I was shocked Bravo left so much of that in, because how does anyone take these people seriously? Like, right. You're watching them say this is all made up for a show. So it's like, how do you suspend disbelief?
Read the coaching. I think Tom and Ariana meant different things about coaching in that moment. Like, and I could be totally wrong, but Tom has said on Howie Mandel's podcast that he viewed his and Ariana's relationship as a brand. And like, Howie was like, did you guys actually have like conversations about that? And he's like, no, but it was like unsaid. And so I think when he's talking about like coaching, he means it like, oh, I'm coaching a person to like look good on reality TV. Whereas I think she was coaching him to like be a better person. Like the cyst male comment and like all of that shit. I think she was just like, you're coming off really poorly. Like, not like, I don't know.
Well, you're saying more like that she was having his back, like, hey, we're on TV. Don't act like shit. And he was thinking, hey, we're on TV. Let's pretend that we're in love with the brand.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I loved in this episode when they were doing all the flashbacks to their fights and they did it in that like black and white, except for the green sparkly, like him pulling up his green sequin pants was the only pop of color in the shot. I'm like, they are just trolling him.
Literally. And she's not even rude about it. She's just like, I don't like the green. And it's like, you shouldn't. He looks like the Grinch.
But that's what you're saying. Like, that's the coaching. Her coaching was like, maybe don't wear green sequin pants, babe.
Oh, I don't even think that was coaching. I think theirs was like behind the scenes stuff when he would be like, as a male, I can't say this stuff. And she'd be like, you need to understand feminism and other people's perspectives and stuff. And he's like, yeah, like we didn't take a picture at Brock and Sheena's wedding. Like, you think that isn't good for us? Like, because he's thinking about the brand.
Yeah.
Right.
She's thinking about building a life with this person, being like, I actually can't be with someone who's going to like stand up on their like men's rights soapbox.
Yeah, but she could, because I think she had a little bit in there too of like subconsciously making choices to prolong the relationship for television. Like she definitely had to know this guy was a douche.
I don't know if it was for television or if it was like she was just genuinely in, like, how haven't you ever been in a relationship where you're like, ugh, I know this sucks, but like we have so many good memories together and like all relationships have issues and we can work through this. And like she did say that like the way that she was quote unquote manipulating the storyline was she was trying to protect their relationship. You know, like I think if it was for the show, she would have exploited it a little more.
I feel like when you buy a home with someone, like I can't think of anything more serious than that.
Mm-hmm.
But also LA real estate is like New York real estate in that it's so expensive. You can't buy one alone. I lived with every guy I dated in New York because it was so expensive. I was like, hey, we've been dating for 6 months. Why don't we like start paying half the amount of rent that we're both paying?
Right, 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 right.
That's interesting.
Right. Okay.
It's their livelihood.
These are fair points. No, I do think everybody on the show to an extent like likes being on the show. You know, like that would be a really unfair
thing. It's addictive. Yeah. They all are. That's what, like, I mean, this girl, Allie, who's dating James, this poor, sweet summer child who is watching her future happen before her eyes, not only in episodes of the show, but literally on the soundstage where she is currently sitting. She's watching what this guy is going to do to her. She's watching what he's done to others. Why is she still there? It's not because of his sparkling personality. It's because she wants to be on TV. Like it's so funny because that's just every question Andy asks them. I feel like the unspoken answer is, well, I want to be on TV. Oh,
yeah.
You know, like Allie, why doesn't it bother you that he's called women fat before? And, you know,
he calls everyone fat.
Right. Called Raquel's mom or whatever. And she's like
a fat bitch.
He's different.
Yeah,
he's different off camera. It's like, no, there is no off camera. Like there is no off camera for most of these people, you know?
Read the fat comments. This is something I've been paying attention to because I do Diet Starts Tomorrow, but also like I love James Kennedy now as the number one guy in the group, but his fat phobia knows no bounds. And it was really interesting because I went to a Vanderpump viewing party last night at a bar and it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Everybody cheered. We all kept silent in the important parts. Everybody booed, called Tom a liar. It was amazing.
That's fun.
But then when Raquel said, James called my mom a fat bitch, a lot of people laughed. And I was very shocked by that. Not everyone, but like, and I was just like, wow, it's still like, If you had said that about any other discriminated group of people, I don't think there would be any laughs, or I don't think it would have made it to TV.
Also, anyone calling someone's mom a bitch is like automatic get out of my life.
Get out of my life.
Even if
it's only I get to call her a bitch.
Right. Like, and then fat bitch makes it even worse because it's just like, oh my God, you're so immature. You're such a dickhead.
Calling someone's mom a fat bitch, it's like, wow, you're really like trying to be mean.
Also showing how fucking misogynistic and fat phobic you are.
Yeah.
What is she in her 60s? Yeah. It's like, leave her alone.
Literally.
At the same time, I laughed at Zayn Malik calling Yolanda Hadid a Dutch slut. So I'm no better.
Oh my God.
But that's funny.
I never heard that.
It's got assonance. It's surprising.
Right. That's a better punchline. Dutch slut is like, that could be like a brand. Like literally go pick up a Dutch slut. I'm going to roll us a blunt.
Oh my God. A Dutch slut is a blunt.
Like, I feel like Dutch slut has legs.
I love to smoke a Dutch slut.
You literally.
It's so mean, but it has such, and it is so misogynistic, but it's got a certain ring to it and a certain creativity where I would laugh.
A Dutch slut. Like, I don't think Yolanda feels like she's a slut and she's Dutch. Like, I think calling somebody like a fat bitch is being like, I'm looking at you and I'm judging you. Whereas Dutch slut.
Yeah. I don't like you physically and I don't like you on the inside either.
Right. Like, it's like, I it's so personal. Whereas yeah. Dutch slut is just like, lol, sounds funny.
Yeah. Okay. I feel better about myself.
But Yolanda's not a slut.
Right.
Yeah. But also, fat as a pejorative, and this is what was so interesting to me, is Allie right now is doing in real time what Ariana has been doing, which is she's trying to teach James that that's not kind. And then she said, after all they rolled that clip, she goes, yeah, I don't think anybody should use the word fat ever. And I was like, you're so close. Like, I think she means like they shouldn't use it as an insult or whatever.
She's saying the quiet part out loud.
Exactly. But she still knows that that's rude and she wants to come off well and she wants her boyfriend to come off well. Just like Ariana lied for Tom about Miami Girl for years because she said, I don't want him to come off poorly because I love him. I don't want people to think of him poorly, but I also don't want them to think of me poorly for dating this kind of a person.
Just so funny because like even that sentence that you started with, like, I see them both, these women, like trying to teach these men to be nice, how to be kind. It's like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, hey babe, for the wreck, it's just like not nice to call people fat as an insult to their face on television. It's like, duh. Like, it's just like, how remedial is this relationship work that we're doing here in the Vanderpump Rules kitchen?
I think it's a view of a larger whole. I think women are
right
constantly educating. Like, if I saw somewhere, it was like Twitter, it was like, listen, if you're going to get into a straight relationship, get ready to like teach him some stuff for the rest of your life.
One of the biggest, most embarrassing like public fights that Randy and I ever got in was there were two. It was like the same fight though, but it was like we had just watched Gone mm-hmm. Girl and he was like very upset.
He's team and, Ben.
Like, basically, yeah, like he was like evil women. Like he like it was like all about like evil, like he was like triggered about like evil women yeah. or something. And then it flipped into being about like at the WNBA and how like if women were better, more people would go or something like that. And I was just like, and like, we had like people over, like it was literally like Jamel Mullen, Adam, like we had like literally people over and I like had to pull them into the back room and be like, y'all,
you're embarrassing.
You sound so dumb. Yeah. I was like, this is your shit. Like, this is your mommy shit coming out way too much. I understand you hate women, but could we just save it for when people
also
leave?
I understand
like,
that the society that we're steeped in is wildly misogynistic. I've had to unlearn a ton of internalized misogyny. Like, you know, totally. Like I get it if you haven't gone through it or whatever. However, I will say there are men out there who have done the work that you won't need to do this with, or they had some wonderful girlfriend before, or they struggled in a different way that they can identify.
Right.
Or they're receptive.
The fact that like you're marginalized for your gender.
I feel like part of the appeal of this show is that it's almost like it's like very like eighth grade lunchroom.
Yeah.
Like there's sort of like a childlike wonder to the, yeah. The low grade, like at least like, yeah, I don't know, like an argument about the WNBA, it's a dumb thing, but at least it like, there's a thought behind it, but it's been like, your mom's fat yeah. is like, wow. Like, why don't we just call it? I guess I have to cut this. But why don't we just call it the fags across the hallway again? Like, how low can we go? I mean, no, never. But like, how awful to like? It's like, what are we doing? Like,
no, they're being babies.
Yeah, Sarah, I think your tactic of just saying to him instead of here's why what you're saying is sexist. Just saying you sound really dumb. I think that's a really good way to do it because a lot of guys not only, and obviously we shouldn't hang out with these guys, but just in general, like, if they don't care if they sound sexist because they think they have a smarter perspective and they're going to explain why that's just actually not sexist. And you're being a...
Also, sexist isn't an insult to that person.
Yeah, but it's like, no, you sound dumb. Yeah,
dumb is really like
what you're saying is uninformed.
Sensitivity as a... as like a learned behavior when it comes to teaching men, I think is really hard because I think there's a part of them that's just like, but why? Like, why would I act more sensitive? Like, why would I care about not being sexist? Like, they're sort of proud of it.
But think about how sexism has benefited them and the current system that they live in. Why would they want to undo that? And I would say because then they get upset about things of, well, we don't get taken out on dates and nobody takes our emotions seriously. And I'm like, who do you think built up that construct? It wasn't your mother that was telling you don't cry. You know, it was probably your father or your friends telling you don't be a pussy, man up or whatever. And when the patriarchy or society or whatever it is, a group of people decide that something is not masculine, it takes it away from those people. Like, men should be able to have their emotions. I do want to hold space for them.
Totally.
You know?
I love a crier.
But I also, oh my God. Ben and I watched Bridgerton. We watched Queen Charlotte or whatever. And I was bawling at the end of it. And then like, and we were like spooning while watching it. And then like a week later, he goes, how good was the end of Queen Charlotte? I was like, it was so good. He goes, I know you were crying. And I was like, yeah. He goes, I was crying too. He's like, but you couldn't see me because I was behind you.
That Cancer Moon energy coming through strong. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben, you sensitive
artist. Is Ben a Cancer Moon too?
Ben's a Cancer Moon and you're a Capricorn Moon. I know your chart's like a psycho.
How do you know Ben's?
Because we did Ben's.
And he knows when he was born?
I don't know if we had the time for Ben, but we knew he was a Virgo. Because you're both Virgos. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you have the Capricorn Cancer dichotomy, which I loved. Which is why we're easy, fast friends. I'm a Cancer Capricorn with a Virgo.
I don't like knowing that he's got cancer in him.
Oh, we love... Well, it's a benign... Am I going to get it wrong? It's a benign cancer. It's a malignant... It's a malignant
it's
cancer.
It's a
benign cancer.
It's a benign cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, benign.
That's funny, Sarah.
Speaking of evil women you alluded in Gone Girl, I was going to say also, like, the guys who saw Gone Girl and they were like, women are bitches. It's like, I've never, literally never met a woman that would act like that. Like, there aren't, like, these evil women running around who are, like, thinking of ways to victimize men and shit like that. But then I was thinking, Sheena, I need to know your thoughts on Sheena, Remy, because I can't stand her. Like, I basically what I know of her is she hooked up with Brandy Glanville, who also sucks, but still doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. Husband for 2 years. And that was how they kind of like unfurled her on VPR.
This was a moment in media history.
They literally walk from the front of the restaurant in the last episode of Beverly Hills to the back and begin the premiere of Vanderpump.
Yeah, Brandy meets up with Sheena to like squash the beef or whatever because Sheena is a server at one of Lisa's parties and Brandy goes, she fucked my ex-husband. Like, she dated him for like 2 years. And Lisa's like, oh, you should sit down together and talk it out. Sheena's a wonderful girl. And so they have this, thank you, they have this meeting at Sir and they talk and Sheena cries or whatever. And Brandy's like, I wish you well, whatever, leaves. And then they follow Sheena as she gets up and walks through the kitchen past Stassi and Katie and everyone. And now we're in Vanderpump Rules. There was no cut between the shows.
It was very tricky.
Whoa. Okay. It's really interesting then that like we find ourselves here with Sheena in hysterics. That's what this whole thing. I'm like, she's crashing. Yeah. Like the level of emotionality coming from her was so far beyond everyone else.
Yeah. And it's because she punched someone in the face. It's like,
you think she punched her? I think she swatted her.
Yeah. She had a scratch on her eyebrow. Whatever she did to her, she assaulted her.
Either way, she hit her. She hit her in whatever way.
She said she pushed her.
Yeah, and you can't do that. You can't push someone. It doesn't matter who they hooked up with. You can't fucking do that. Mm-hmm. And like, they're all acting like...
And she threw her phone.
Yeah, she stole her phone, threw it, and pushed her. It's like, yeah, I mean, I would call the cops if someone did that to me. I don't care.
This is literally Vanderpump Babies.
Yeah, but then she's the one sitting there crying about it like something was done to her. I mean, how does this girl, mm-hmm. I think this is a good time to start getting into the astrology, because what in her chart makes her so, because in the end of the finale episode and at other certain points in the show, you do start to root for Sheena. She seems like a good person. And then you remember, like, no, she remorselessly hooked up with a married man for 2 years. She like pushed Raquel and now she's making everybody be on her side. Like, what is the deal?
I literally think it's one of the wildest things that Katie and Sheena have like put their differences aside for this.
What were their differences?
Sheena had Schwartz on her podcast right after they got divorced and stuff, and was really pushing Schwartz to like go out and be single and stuff and like hook up with Raquel. And Katie kept being like, hey, can you stop doing that? Like, and Sheena's like, well, but you said once in Vegas that like you couldn't care less. And Katie's like, well, I'm telling you, I'm an actually like more emotional person than you think. And like, I take that back. Like, please stop doing this. And then Sheena decides, I think, that Katie can't come to her wedding anymore. But Katie's already booked flights in a hotel room.
Oh.
And then one of Sheena's bridesmaids who hadn't booked, they were like, oh, the hotel is fully booked, so like you won't be able to come. And so Sheena's like, well, we'll just tell Katie that she can't fucking come to the hotel and she should give the room to the bridesmaid or whatever. And Katie's like, absolutely not. And then ends up still going to Mexico. And then I think Sheena like was joking, but she said to Raquel, like, who's gonna tell Katie like she can't come to the pool? And Raquel like goes to Katie's room and is like, by the way, like, they really don't want you coming to the swim up bar.
Who's gonna tell her? Raquel's like, I will.
She's like, I'll do that. I didn't have a lot of screen time this episode.
I will do it. The thing about Katie is, I'm sorry, I have to say, she seems very miserable and like she just kind of wants to spread the misery around. Just that's just the impression that I get from her mannerisms, her tunic, you know?
Her tunic.
I was very anti-Katie for a very long time, and I don't know why. And now I see her in like kind of a new light, because I just think she makes point after point, and she can sniff people out. Like, she knew Raquel was fucking weird from the jump. And I also don't think she was the problem in her relationship with Schwartz at all. Like, I've been rewatching last season and like, she tries to be so supportive, but her being like a little rain cloud, like, I'm a little rain cloud as well. So I'm kind of like, misery loves company. Let's go.
I must say, I've been waiting to tell you this all 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Because we were broing after the first reunion, like, ha ha, Lisa, there's no Capricorn up there. Like, LOL, no excellence, no Capricorns. I was wrong. Katie is a Capricorn sun. So we all have a little bit of that Katie in us, a little bit of that rain.
That's why I'm triggered.
Is a sun your main sign?
Yes, it's your main sign. It's what people, when people say, what's your sign?
Your main sign. So I'm a Virgo, she's a Capricorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
But your moon is really your inner self. That's what's really going on. It's your emotionality. It's your true nature. The sun is like what people see. The moon is like what's really going on. So what's interesting about Katie, Katie is a Capricorn. So yeah, she seems like stiff, a lady of the law.
Watch it now.
Well, I don't mean that even in a bad way. I mean, she is miserable. And rightfully so.
No, she seems regimented.
She's the only one up there that seems to have any sort of decorum at all. As far as I understand, she's not out there hitting people.
Sometimes she goes off.
Her moon? Where is Katie's moon? Leo.
Wow.
So a Capricorn sun Leo moon is an interesting combination, because it's sort of like, on the outside, you want to be seen as somebody who has like status and does things right.
Has their shit together.
Mm-hmm. Has their shit together. Mm-hmm. A professional.
Control.
She wants us to see her as controlled. But on the inside, what she's dying for is to, like, she's a little bit jealous that Sheena even has it in her to just fucking whap somebody. Mm. She wishes she could express herself in that much of a.
That makes sense. That's the thing. We keep our shit together. We're not going to be smacking people, and we're not going to be cheating.
Right. Like, a Capricorn sun is not going to fuck around with like their appreciated.
I'm trying to think of any time Katie has been in a physical altercation, and I always think it's been done to her, but I'm not sure. And she's also the only one that Andy was like, Katie and Lisa are the only people who have not cheated on this stage.
What is Sheena's sign and signs?
Yeah, what's her sun?
So Sheena is a Taurus sun.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. She loves her stuff.
Loves her stuff. And the emotionality difference between a Taurus and a Capricorn. Like Taurus is an emotional sign. It's the first of the earth signs. It's the first feminine sign. So it really is there representing this divine feminine energy. What's interesting to me is that Sheena's moon is the same as Raquel's moon, Sagittarius moon. So they both inside feel fucking right. Hmm. They feel righteous. Hmm. And they feel like what you're saying is so interesting. Like I didn't fully realize that the beginning.
Sarah, like, I've told you this like six times.
I don't know why I didn't comprehend it. Maybe like, sorry, Capricorn, Remy, just a Virgo storytelling is a little bit more easy to comprehend.
Oh.
No, you probably loved it when she said it. And then you smoked a few Dutch sluts and then you forgot.
Yeah. Dutch sluts. I smoked too many Dutch sluts. I'm just in thinking about it being like literally like a passing of the baton to the back of the kitchen where this Dutch slut, no, where Sheena's actually the cheater. It's like, it's just interesting to think about it, like fast forward to now where she's this like righteous, like fire for what's right. And it's like,
it's rich. It's rich.
Sheena is not as mad about the cheating as she is about her friends turning off their locations and not telling her where they were. She feels more betrayed, I think, as a friend.
That's interesting.
That is Sheena's like number one thing is she needs to be wanted and liked by everybody. And she just wants to be included in the group. And she feels excluded. She's like, Tom and Raquel were two of my best friends. Mm. And neither of them told me about this affair. My best friends.
Yeah, she wanted some ownership of it for herself.
She's like, you lied to my face. It's like, of course they were having an affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even Lisa's like, well, they're not going to tell you before they tell Ariana.
Right, right, right. That's funny, Ariana. It's like she does it with an R.
Ariana.
I think it's interesting, too. Like, talk about, like, you want to see a Sag moon in action. And also, Taurus, a notoriously stubborn sign.
No Taurus.
No Taurus. They're no Taurus. Oh, that's good. That's merch. That's merch, Remy. That's merch. That's good. No Taurus. The Taurus. Yeah. Stubborn. But so I just thought it was so funny when they were like, Andy's like, actually, Sheena, Raquel has officially, like, sent through her lawyer a letter of dismissal or whatever, like she's gonna drop the charges against you, and her response, what Sheena's response is, like, I hope she doesn't. It's like, why?
Oh,
why?
Yeah,
no, that was Ariana. Oh, that was Ariana who said
I thought it was
yeah, Ariana said, I hope she doesn't, we don't need
okay,
her
either
us.
Way keep crying then, Sheena, because Ariana is hoping you get a criminal record.
No, Sheena, I think when she received that, was crying because she was like, oh no, I already forgive Raquel.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that she wants to be in a fight.
Like, yeah. That's what she was so upset too. She was like, we built this friendship. She said, I grabbed her face. I said, please don't do anything that's ever going to make me not want to be around you. She just wants her friends. She has finally built up a friend group that she's like, fuck. You ruined this.
It's just really bad, though, because, like, similar to, like, having to tell guys, like, hey, for the record, like, don't call my mom fat, especially to her face on TV, like, duh. Yeah. It's a little bit like if you have to, like, beg your friends
not to be horrible people. Yeah.
Don't betray me, okay? It's like,
yeah,
this isn't, like, someone you trust, babe. Like, promise me you won't do anything to ruin our friendship. It's like, okay, this is not the Godfather. Like, clearly have an inkling that she might.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the difference between her and Katie is Katie goes, I can sense that you're going to do something fucked up, so I'm not going to build this relationship.
Right.
Sheena's like, you're open to building a relationship with me? Cool. Let's do that. And then I'll weed out any of the things that might be problematic.
Sheena is like a mobster. She is like loyalty above everything. Like, she doesn't see any sort of right or wrong in anything she's ever done. All she cares about, like you're saying, Remy, is like whether people have her back or not. It's like, literally, what are you fucking Don Corleone. Like,
it feels like that. Don't you ever do anything to change my opinion of you. It's like, that's also a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
For, like, okay, I hope I don't. Like, I hope I don't mess up.
Totally.
Who can control that?
I mean, I've wanted to cancel Sarah 4 times in this recording alone, but I'm not going to...
We wouldn't put that kind of pressure on our relationship long term. Don't do anything to make this recording annoying.
We'll have a conversation for sure, but I can't expect people just not to fuck up.
Right. That will be, that's just like so insane.
That being said, this is way more diabolical than fucking up.
Yeah.
However, this isn't even a however, it's just a let me get this thought in before we do the rest of the signs. Raquel last night took way more accountability than Tom has this entire time. And I was kind of like, oh, look at her go. Because it kind of looks like now she's a little removed from Tom. Like, those two people do not have chemistry.
Who, Raquel and Sandoval?
Yeah. Like, in the trailer, they did not have any chemistry. When he visited her at her house, there was no chemistry. Like,
that scene was the most painful. When he went to her house...
Yeah, and she's like, I don't feel like I even have you, because if you could do that to Ariana, like, how would you not do that to me?
I will.
Another thing I think she saw on the internet and was like, well, this, hold on. And I think also she's been reading the internet because of the statements that she made, like, in her apologies and the one-on-one and stuff, that, like, she seems to understand the general consensus that this was very bad, and she also... seems to be waking up to the fact that she's like, yeah, I was living in my own world because of things that Tom would tell me.
I don't want to give her that much credit. I think she just...
Okay. And I do still think she's very bad for doing all of this. I just
don't understand how she didn't think that this would be a problem.
I have been a woman that was lied to by a guy who said, my girlfriend and I are on a break right now. Everything's okay. And then... got a message from the girl a week later being like, how could you do this to
me? You don't believe guys when they say that. That's the thing. Like, as an adult.
That's the thing. I was 17 at that time.
Right. As a 17.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I just feel like, I think what we're seeing with Raquel is definitely that she's been reading the internet and she is going through the motions of what mm-hmm. she thinks the internet wants her to say.
To say, yeah.
Like, she's saying the things you're supposed to say.
Well, she's like, I'm here to take accountability.
She's using the words.
She's using the words. But her face is still, girl, like.
But could that be Botox?
No, she doesn't look Botox-y. She's just affectless. She's gomless. That's what my mom says. She has no gom.
The emotions don't line up with the face usually.
They don't.
Yeah, something's missing.
I do wonder what is going on in her mind, and... I am curious as to how she actually thinks, but like, I think this is a perfect person for reality TV because you're like, you need to be studied for years to come.
She has no conscience and she has no, yeah. She has no sense of having wronged anyone in this situation. She's just, I think she's just so, so, so self-absorbed. And you meet people like this where they can justify anything to themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what is not clicking? Like, how do you not feel guilty?
So who do you think is better? Raquel, and you can say neither and it's equal, but Raquel regurgitating stuff that she knows that we want to hear, but she is saying, I'm taking accountability. I did these things. They are bad. Versus Tom, who is like, I did this because you wouldn't make me any dumpling lattes.
I think Raquel is like a sociopath. Like, I think there's something that some element of humanity that that just doesn't click with her. Whereas he is like mm-hmm. extremely manipulative narcissist.
I wonder what their therapists would say. Like, I know that we'll never get that stuff and like it's bad to like diagnose people like on the internet or whatever, but like I do wonder what their therapists think.
He's the kind of person who can manipulate a therapist into seeing
right
his like he's the kind of person that can burrow deep within you and make you think things, and she's the kind of person who isn't thinking anything about other people, so yeah. Like they're just both two different terrifying types of person that you just want to avoid at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually thought a lot about my answer to this question that we posed last ep, but I want to ask Remy first. I see your question with a counter question. what do we want from them?
Oh, yes. Great question. Great question.
Like, they obviously did this horrible thing, but like, what could they say? What would be an either an interesting or a forgivable? They're both taking two totally opposite approaches, and yet they're both are falling short.
This is horrible. But I think the only way out of this, the only way out of a long affair is genuinely being in love and working on a relationship.
Yes.
And having it be something that you're building that it was worth burning everything else to the ground for.
Yes.
Like, first of all, if he didn't yell at her, Ariana, during their conversation and he said, "I am weak. I am horrible. You did not deserve this. This was disgusting. Raquel, I don't even want to talk about her with you because that is your relationship," or whatever. And Raquel could have gone to her and personally apologized or just said, "I'm going to give you space. This is horrible. I'm so sorry." Like, Raquel in that moment just apparently said, "Yeah, we've been, you know, having an affair for 7 months." You know, like, so flippant, so nothing. If he had apologized to Ariana first before posting anything about the bar.
The whole, that, his mismanagement of emotion when it comes to the Schwartz and the bar versus Ariana, it breaks mm-hmm. my fucking heart for her. Like,
he thinks he's been wronged. He thinks he did the right thing. He thinks he did.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, the reason he did this was for TV. Like, yeah, he was producing himself. He thought, if I stay with Ariana through the season, let her cool off before we shoot the reunion, I'm going to get out of this. Like, and that's the unspoken thing. And that's why he is like clamping on to this, like, "Well, you were mean to me."
Right.
Because like, that's all he can think to do.
Right. No, if he'd owned everything, came to the reunion genuinely a broken man, not somebody pretending to cry or whatever, and throwing out that James grabs his girlfriend and trying to throw in any cuts of Lala ripped out her IUD or whatever, like, and trying to deflect.
What was that about?
Horrible, horrible man.
What was that about? Like, background.
That was like, "I need to like re-listen to this to make sure I heard it right" moment.
Literally.
Can you brief us?
He just, I guess, was like fighting with Lala and was like basically saying that she does everything for the show too, and that the second Stassi got pregnant, she ripped out her IUD because she wanted a kid for content.
A kid for content is also the real,
my words, not his.
That's a great, yeah, that's merch. There's something there. Like a baby, we should do baby wear that says "kid for content."
Kid for content.
I mean, honestly, like, she wouldn't have gotten that idea from Stassi. It's the Kardashians' entire empire, like, has been,
nobody gets an idea to have a baby. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, like, some people do, some people definitely do, but it's also like the kid's already here. Like, it's a super low blow. Why would you say that?
Also, like, everyone has kids for
the likes,
a little bit of content, not for content, not for social media, but you're having kids.
No, it's content for people in your life. It makes your dad call you more.
Yes, a new phase of life. Like, it's like literally like part of why I'm, obviously you probably saw Remy, I'm pregnant.
I did. Congrats.
I'm like, you know what? I did all the stuff. I did all the single stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's time for new stuff.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like. So, kid for content.
The content has gotten tired for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, besides filming the reunion and actually being remorseful, I really do think he should have put his head down, started working more at Schwartz and Sandy's, or like behind the scenes and stuff. And but then like kind of dipped out of public life for a little bit with her. Whereas he's been going on this massive tour without her, like, it seems like he's even really abandoned her. And then she ends up looking weird, or like she's attention seeking by going off the radar, when I do think that's kind of what you should do, is stay away from everybody and stop trying to get attention. Like, he's still basking in the negative attention.
Oh, yeah. I think he loves it, actually.
Yeah, he does.
So like, the thing that I was thinking was, okay, because I was like, okay, Sarah, like, what would I need from them in order to
forgive them?
Forgive them, or even just be there. It's not even that interesting to hear what they're saying about it, because it's like, you were just wrong. Like, you're just fucking wrong.
Yeah, and you're just lying and making up shit now.
Yeah.
And now just also being mean, put a pin in his post-season behavior, because there's a few things too where like you can just tell that he's still trying to produce his like storyline. And it's like, yeah, dude, what I would need, I think, is like, for which is like, maybe I'm just like sick and like maybe cut this, but like, I think I would need Tom to be like, look, when I was a kid, my dad cheated on my mom all the time. And I always thought that that was a normal part of being a guy, like to take it really back to the, whatever the trauma was or whatever the,
you want him to tell us his trauma
a little bit.
It doesn't excuse it though. You're an adult man.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I
want to know that he's doing that work.
Yeah. Sort your shit out. You're 40 years old.
Right. And no, but we know he isn't. Ariana has said she was doing child work or what's it, whatever it's called, inner child work. And he never did. Like, he was probably just like trying to make the therapist like him.
Yes. A lot of people go to therapy and do the work and they're still assholes. Like, that's the thing that we all need to accept.
Mm-hmm. Cause you also have to choose the work that you're doing in therapy.
Right. And you can break off your relationship. I know so many people who become more selfish after they go to therapy and become like the therapist is enabling them. Like, I mean, it's just, like, it's not a cure-all for everything. I think in the UK it might be because they don't get as much money, so they are more honest with you.
It's less of a business for sure. And I do think therapy is so wonderful and can work if you work it properly. But I've also had I stopped going to therapy for a while because I was like, I'm just trying to make this person like me every fucking time, and like, I know I'm not working on myself, and I would say it to him in the I'd be like, I'm lying to you right now.
But see, you're a better woman than me. I love therapy until I fire whatever therapist I'm working with, when I realize like, now I'm just paying money to lie to them.
Literally, I'm lying to you, I'm telling you stories, I'm trying to make you giggle,
right. And I'm like, you're lucky to get this open mic material, you know. And they're like, oh.
Literally, I was like, no more free content, join my Patreon.
Yeah, like, it's a bad sign. It's the last therapist I fired was like, you have to tell me when your shows are. I'm like, this is it, babe. But it's like, I do not want my therapist. Like, I am crushing these sessions if she's like compelled to show up at, you know, New York Comedy.
You're literally at the meet and greet right now,
babe. This is it, baby. Yeah, he like, this more. Is your book signing. Enjoy.
He wants more raw. Like,
I guess, like, the thing that I was going to say about Tom and the mismanagement of this whole affair is that, like, Tom's astrology, it's no shock that he's a
Cancer.
So Tom Sandoval's a Cancer sun, Gemini moon.
Yeah.
Which is why it worries me that there's Cancer in Ben, but go on. Yeah.
You know, none of the signs are good or bad. It just has to do with the way you know, it's not the size, it's the boat and the motion of the ocean. You know what I mean?
Cancer men, I've known historically, not fab. Cancer women, wonderful.
There's just like maladjusted people under every sign, I would say.
Fair.
Okay, so Sandoval is a Cancer sun, Gemini moon. And I think we see this enacted perfectly, where not only as the Cancer sun does he, like, we see him, he feels like the victim somehow. And he feels like everyone's like out to get him and he just wants to be like mommy and nurtured. But then what we really see is a guy like literally like treading water, like trying to like bobbing for air, trying to find the story or find the persona,
grasping at straws. Grasping. Yeah.
And there's so much, again, so Gemini moon, there's so much like changeability. So it's like, for example, two things here that I want to point out that were just like unacceptable to me during this episode. Number one, it is so fucking mean for Tom to say, like, for the last 14 years, I haven't ever been able to be myself. And being with Raquel, I was finally able to be myself. It's like, yo, fuck. That is such a fucking mean thing to say to the person that you've been sharing your most deeply intimate moments with and bought a home with. It's like, okay, maybe it was the brand for sure. Wait, fuck you.
This is something that I haven't written onto the theory, but is an extension of the theory.
You heard it here first, folks.
Tom is grabbing at so many things from past seasons because he's thinking that they're going to work again. In the season where we find out Jax and Kristen hooked up, and then we have that reunion, Jax has no remorse, and he says to Tom, what, we were never friends. And Tom is heartbroken. Mirroring exactly what Tom is doing to James right now, saying, we were never brothers.
It's just horrible.
They completely deny the existence of the relationship so they don't have to feel the guilt. Also resuscitated from season one, Kristen is the OG who coined the term glorified roommates. No one said glorified roommates until Kristen said, "Tom, we were glorified roommates," about their own relationship. And then Tom planted it into, or whatever. A lot of other people have said it about them, and he was always like, "No, no, no." But now when it's convenient, look what's back.
I feel like Kristen is like glorified Kristen roommates. Kristen is the cast member that like truly keeps on giving. She like, really wow, does. She really set a foundation that, yeah, continues to be celebrated to this day in all the ways. But like, yeah, I feel like he just, yeah, it's like, it's almost like trying to rewrite history. Like, we weren't friends. It's like, first of all, we have like a bunch of seasons.
We have so much footage.
It seems like you guys were like literally friends. But then the other thing is that, okay, so in the
you paid for his engagement, you psychopath.
You paid for his engagement, but like, we're not friends. It's like, if that's true then, Tom, then you're literally proving Remy's theory right, which is like, we weren't friends. I was literally trying to stage a huge scandal that was...
And the fact that you didn't know or follow me or figure it out is your fault.
Follow Rem, you fucking idiot.
No, no, no. I'm saying like how Tom was like, Ariana should have followed me to Schwartz's house. No, no, no. I would never.
I'm like, yeah, who doesn't follow me?
And now Raquel is jumping on that train. She said in her one-on-one with Andy, oh, I really thought there was no way she didn't know. Like, which seems like it had to have been something that Sandoval told her would play well because he's been trying it as well. It's just like, can one person with like a functioning empathy chip intervene with these two? Like, they didn't pay a crisis PR manager for even 3 seconds. Like, literally, just get someone.
They think they're
be, like,
so smart.
They do.
It's so weird.
So then the other thing that I saw in the tabloids this week, two different things, which I think are so... really truly Gemini moon flubs here. So I saw that while he's been on tour now, I can't remember what song it is, but I guess like in one of the lines he's changing the line to like, Raquel is not for me.
Yes, Stacy's mom. He does Schwartz's mom.
Oh, Stacy's mom, Schwartz's mom, and Raquel is not for me. So
we don't know if he's saying not for me or hot for me.
Oh,
initially I thought he was saying not for me because that's the lyric. But I was like, that would be so fucking cold-blooded. Like, this girl is
so mean.
Taking care of her mental health or whatever, supposedly. Also using hot for me and using her name, like, she has left society right now.
Like, leave her alone.
Leave her out of this.
Shut up. So that's the first thing. Then I saw, I think it was on, like Instagram yesterday or something? There was a viral photo posted of Tom on an airplane yesterday.
Yes.
And somebody took a picture of him and they zoomed in that he was on the phone with Raquel.
I think that was me who posted that.
Oh, was it you? Oh my God, Remy. Everybody follow Remy. Like, no. So it's like, not only are you guys still talking, but you're doing Raquel is not for
no,
me.
No, no. That photo, I think, was so staged because I think he wants people to think that they are still talking. Like, there is no...
He's just throwing everything
There's
at the
no
wall.
There's no cheating man who doesn't know how to angle his phone away from other people.
Right. Wow, yeah. Wow.
Why are you on speaker on a plane?
And why do you have her in your phone as Raquel?
Raquel Levis. Full
True.
Name.
Yeah.
Full name, because he wants us to know.
Okay, so he's trying to make us think like, yeah, like this was more serious than you guys realize.
It is love.
But he's also not even sticking to that story because
he's got a new girlfriend.
Yeah, and like Remy said,
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They have no chemistry in any scene together. I'm sure they could if they tried to like lay it on thick, but like it seems like they've decided on camera to play it lukewarm and not do any PDA and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, you guys have decided against the true love conquers all narrative. So like now you need to drop it. But there, he's just, it seems like he's just can't figure out what works. So he's just trying everything.
Can
you know?
I say something disgusting?
Please. Yes.
I think if they went with the true love narrative, like I've already basically said this, but I do think a lot of people would have forgiven them much quicker. Like even if he went into that trailer and was like, you look beautiful, or like in a yeah. nice way, like he said to her, like, you look nice. It's fucking awful out there. And if he had grabbed her hand and said, I'm so sorry I got you into this situation. Like, you know, like just something showing empathy for someone. Like
it's
we would believe
him.
That these people were people still.
Right. And well, and you're so right, though, that like the only thing they're selling with an affair is romance, and he won't even give us romance.
No, right. he didn't even sell romance. And I mean, he said like they watched the sun come up and shit. But like
because we were partying all night. I mean,
that's literally also recycled from season one. Ariana and I were out and we watched the sun come up and we just kissed. It's the same exact story.
That's really bad. The other question that I have for you two, and then we'll switch to Schwartz, but Schwartz and the Xanax.
Oh, that was the best acting skills I've ever seen when they all pretended to be scandalized by Xanax in their presence. You live in LA. Get out of here. You're all trying to be actors and models, or at least you used to be. You've all got a full deck of Adderall, a full deck of Xanax waiting for you, depending on which one you are in the mood for. So like...
They're like, Xanax, Tom.
I think the shock was what a prop to pull out.
Right. Go to the bathroom.
Like you could have done this in your dressing room, but you really want us to know
that
you're stressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also to have the whole bottle on you. It's like, yo, man, you could just get a little pill. Get a little pill case. We all have a little pill case. Come on, bro. Okay. So so what I also found to be sort of one of the fun parts of this sort of snooze part two here was. When he's like, I need to talk to Raquel without the cameras. We need non-camera time.
Amazing.
And the producer's like, yo, man. Like,
we need to strategize.
Literally.
Moron.
Like, what an idiot. And like, okay, so what I want to know from your two creative brains, what do you think that he wanted to say to her that he couldn't say on camera?
Just to get their story straight.
Yeah, to bolster the timeline. Okay, so remember we started and it was one night and then it was another night and then... No. And then, I don't know, maybe like prepared her to insult Ariana, like, and tell her like what his tactics have been, like, just bring up other stuff.
It still hasn't gotten through his head that victim blaming is not working and no one is taking his side. Like, he is so, like, I mean, I'm surprised that he doesn't have any Taurus in him because he's so bullheaded. Like, he is so hell-bent on, like, no, you guys don't understand. Ariana's the bitch. Ariana's the one that did something wrong. And it's just, like, every time you try that, everyone is like, shut up. Try something else. It's not working.
Literally.
Like, he just cannot get it. But he still keeps trying. It's, I mean, he must have had the most indulgent parents that just...
That's what I mean. I would like to at least know that.
Yeah, I wouldn't forgive him because
they gave him their retirement fund.
I know that is.
Oh,
of course they're indulgent.
I guess that does say it all. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's also just like, yeah, he is so mean.
No, I think somebody wrote it on Twitter or something that they were like, oh, someone said this is the worst thing to happen to Vanderpump, but this is Vanderpump. This is what the story is. No, but the story is about what happens when you move to LA to become famous and you don't become famous for the things that you want to become famous for.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Tom is living that out in real time, like in many different crises.
Right. He literally created the opposite. Yeah.
And I think that's what's so crazy right now is he's seeing Ariana get all the fame he always wanted.
And the adoration.
And that's what
the
hurts
adoration
him.
That he wanted. Yeah. Because he's just as famous as her, but he's infamous. You know, like, and he has to kind of live with the fact that he's going to be the villain for the rest of his life. Like, there is no coming back from this. He has no charm. Well, maybe, I mean, in early seasons, he did have a boyish charm to him.
For sure.
But it's just, for now, it's gotten old.
No, he's not. That's the thing is, he could still be very handsome if he weren't so evil. But now I can just never see him as anything but a worm.
Right. He's got great bone structure. There's the raw materials are there.
The raw materials are there.
Why are you shaving
the manscaping
forehead?
Is there. Oh, I love that. I always thought that was so silly. I was like, what is that for? Let's do it.
Yeah. If he had like a little bit of scruff, if he had some chest hair, if he looked a little bit less manicured and like he was a little bit less psychotically obsessed with himself. I think he'd be an attractive guy.
He just looks very circus to me. Like welcome to the circus. They would do all those flashbacks of, you know, seasons before, and he's always wearing like a top hat or like has like a dongle a twist on the bottom of his mustache or like, just, like
trying so hard to be like performative.
He's performing.
Yeah. So weird.
But like if you read Not All Diamonds and Rosé, it's like it really gets the case across that even though reality TV ruins these people's lives, they would jump through hoops to get back on it again when they leave, and how like it just becomes something about watching your life play out on television becomes so addictive, and like the people that are on these shows, like they can't get over it, and then when they leave the show, nothing can ever reach that high again, and like that's why I think it's so funny that people are like, who's gonna come back next season? It's like everyone who wants to come back is gonna come. Like everyone who doesn't get fired is going to come back. Like they're all going to be back. No one's going to walk away from this. They live for this.
I had, I was offered to be on a reality show a long, long time ago. And
which one?
My dad put me in, it's called Made in Chelsea. It's a British show. You know,
what?
It,
why
there.
Did you do it?
Because in my contract, it said I couldn't represent any brands. And I was starting a business at that time. So I was like, I don't know if this is worth it for me, but I got the opportunity to talk to an ex Real Housewife of New York about it because I just wanted her opinion.
Can you tell us who?
And this is somebody who, I'll tell you guys after, but this is somebody who was like maligned during her season, is not fondly remembered really. And she said to me, if someone is telling you you're interesting enough for reality TV, do it. And I was like, oh, I don't need this for that. Like, I don't want, you know, and I understand the addictive aspect of it too, because I kept a diary. I love looking back at my diary. Imagine having a photo diary or whatever it is. But it's like looking back at a Facetune photo diary or an extremely edited photo diary.
That you didn't edit yourself.
That you didn't edit yourself. Yeah. So I think it could totally fuck you up.
But you would have gotten such a big platform for whatever stuff you want to promote after you leave is the thing. That's a fucked up contract.
I know.
That's like the whole point of being an influencer or like having that kind of platform is so that you can, like, that's why all these people are so stupid. Like, why don't they have tons of like actually successful side businesses? Like, they're set up for success.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard because, well, the show eats your life too. Like, that also is like a point they make in Not All Diamonds and Rosé is like, for, you know, 6 months of the year, 3 or 6 months of the year, you're shooting, and all the pre-production and post-production also eats up a huge chunk of your year. You really only have like 2 months off. And when you're shooting, it's like, it's your whole life.
It's basically like school teacher
and
schedule.
When you're not shooting, you're posting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the only person who's really had a breakaway, like real big success is Bethany business-wise, but then there are other people who they have stuff that's good enough that it keeps them afloat. So
we
know.
Interviewed Lo Bosworth on Diet Starts Tomorrow, and she is, we said, our favorite reality TV dropout. She really distanced herself from the show. She started this wellness business or whatever, and like that's her thing now.
Cool.
She seems like she's got a really great like socialite kind of life too. Like she's always popping up at different events and things like that.
But I feel like when she was on reality TV, she was notably like just like nice. Like, I feel like, of course, it wasn't not a fit for her. She always was sort of like just like the friend who was like sort of sane.
Well, she also told us this, that she decided from the outset, I will not be dating on this show.
Right.
Like, she was going to hold everything really
close
to the
chest. You could tell she was doing it. She brought really nothing to the table other than she was like a cute side, like something to bounce someone off of.
She was great. I still say, go to sushi. Do you want to go to sushi?
Yeah, she was comic relief.
Because of her.
She was comic relief.
Yeah.
She brought like no like drama. Like, she was not scandalous under at all.
Mm-hmm.
I also was almost cast on a reality. Well, I was cast on a reality show. But here's the twist. I was a plant. So it ooh, luckily it didn't get picked up. Similar, but not, that is genius, but no, not, not that. No, I'll be quick. It was a news station in the middle of like bumfuck Virginia. And they started to, they shot a pilot. They pitched around and they were like, we need somebody to play the part of like, more of like the audience, sort of like the, like we need like a more normal person in this space. So I was cast as the intern for this. And I went and I shot for a week with them where I was playing the intern. So I was supposed to be this like normal person.
Bethany's like, I was like the Audrina. Intern. No, Bethany's intern in early seasons of Real Housewives was cast.
Oh, really?
Like a lot of people are actors. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I was hired as an actor to be an intern at this news station. The show didn't get picked up, but it was like, it was interesting because I was like, is this how it works?
Yeah, if you watch like all the reality shows in the UK, you have to watch on Hayu, which I get through Amazon Prime. So like the character, you know, when you're watching something on Amazon Prime, the actors pop up at the bottom of the screen. Yeah. And like, all these people in the scenes have full IMDb profiles. Totally. Like, these are people that are going on auditions. Yeah. And like one of Bethany's people, he was like,
Sheena is in an episode of The Hills.
What?
Yeah, they're all actors. It's really fun. Yeah. It's fun.
And Stacey, the bartender from The Hills, was one of Sheena's bridesmaids in her first wedding.
Yeah, like, that's why so many actors are so triggered by reality television. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, this is fake. It's like, no, because they're doing the same job as you. They're just not reading lines.
Right.
Like, get over
it. It's an improv job.
Yeah, kind of. It's like you're not curing cancer just because you are on Mad Men and someone else is on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You know what I mean? Like, it is different, but like, it's just funny when actors get on their high horse about it.
It's totally different forms of media.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
it's not even, it's not the same at all.
It's crazy that like actors get to like, I mean, unless you're method, actors get to leave the character. Reality people don't. And I think that's why that maybe makes Sandoval and Raquel so wild is like, I do believe that Raquel thinks some of Sandoval's relationship was acting because she was like, we do this for the show.
Everyone on the show, I think, thinks that about each other. Yeah.
And she's like, well, I know I acted for 5 years dating James, so I just assume everybody else is acting. And it's like, no, some of them really have real relationships, or they think they do.
I think a lot of it, I always say this, is like what we think of as PR relationships, there's a lot more shades of gray in it, where like when two people are dating for, because it's mutually beneficial for their careers, it's not always a spoken thing, but a lot of the time maybe they do have chemistry and they also like hooking up and they like hanging out.
That doesn't mean their managers didn't introduce them
right
and didn't set this whole thing up.
Like in the back of their mind, they could just be like, you know what, this is serving me very well and I'm just gonna keep it going until something better comes along. And I think that's what goes on with like all of the reality shows that have dating in the background for sure.
And unfortunately, that's why in life, a lot of relationships are transactional. Even relationships that are not for TV, some person's there because someone can afford them a better lifestyle. Another person's there because that's the hottest person they could get. Another person's there because I like being in this friend group. That was another layer of it, is I'm like, I think Raquel, maybe if it's not even for fame, loved the idea of being in a friend group.
Yeah. I mean, she does seem like just like a lonely soul. Like I get the sense that, right, this was the being on the show in whatever way, even with all of this shit going down, is the highlight of her life and exactly what she's been looking for. Like, I don't even think mm-hmm. she's that upset about all of this. I think she thinks this is like par for the course. I think she's like, yeah, I did my job.
Why wouldn't she think so? They did this 10 years ago.
Right.
And I watched the Kristen Tom cheating reunion recently. And while watching it today, not today, but like in this year, thought, how will these friends ever recover from this? This friend group is obliterated. And then I was like, oh my God, they have recovered from this shit before. Why wouldn't she think that it could be okay again?
Right.
Right. Because they all have this show joining them together. If it was real life, they probably would have stopped hanging out years ago.
Right. But it's like part of this job is creating, like, I can totally see where she's like, look, I'm just doing my job. Like, part of the job is creating these, like, televisable, these like interesting dramatic scandals. And then because we're all working, mm-hmm. We come back for the next season. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think at the end of the day too, maybe this goes without being said, this is the best thing that could have ever happened to Ariana, period, point blank. Like, she's coming out on top, like, times a billion.
I don't know if we would have had as much sympathy for her if they just had a quiet.
I don't think we would at all.
Definitely not. And it's already, I mean, I don't know. This is the best thing that happened to her, because not only did she get rid of this loser that she was just kind of in a mutually agreed upon, like, sort of boring relationship with because of kind of television, like, she got to offload him. She's dating someone who seems a lot hotter and taller.
I love when she was like, I'm actually satisfied.
Yeah. And now she's making more money. She's making money off his breakup. Like, this is truly the best thing that ever happened.
I mean,
to her.
So
it's
she
great.
Should. He's put her in a financial hole with
he's
that
fucked
house.
Her.
I know. How the hell? I mean, why
he
did
fucked
no one
her
say to her
and like, her best friend?
Motorola.
Yeah.
Now you asked about shorts. Shorts.
But yeah, wait. Oh yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I think if he had just left her or whatever and started dating Raquel, I can see so many people getting on board with them, because I already saw it in the first few days of Scandoval. Some people being like, well, duh, Ariana doesn't fuck him and she's boring, you know, like just the most like heinous shit. But like, they weren't uncommon comments. Now that he's like been lying more, you see them less, because it's like, okay, this really was fucked up. But yeah, if we didn't know about the cheating, I think it would have sucked for Ariana.
Yeah, I think it.
And she wouldn't have as much of a nail in the coffin to be like,
yes,
we're done.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of like a little cheat on one side or the other is what you kind of need to get a fire under your ass.
And that's where he was coming from. Well, she's not going to let me dump her, so I'm just going to cheat on her until she figures it out.
But it's also like a little bit like Tom, like, hey, how about if you like want to be, if you want her to let you dump you, move out.
Yeah. Move out. He doesn't understand also that as relatable as that is, like, yes, sometimes relationships are so comfortable that you stay in them. You're still an asshole.
Mm-hmm. You're like, still an asshole.
It's like, yes, it makes sense. Like, it's human nature. You want to stay with something that's comfortable, but like, you have to rip the Band-Aid off. Like, you have to be the bigger person and kind of also be the bad guy at the same time and end it. And, like, he just still doesn't get – whatever. He's
being
just
the bad guy does not align with his narrative.
It's just, like – that's, like, so embarrassing for him.
So he can't.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I just feel like it's one of those things where, like, what an idiot to be, like, describing what literally every relationship after 10 years probably – it's just, like – it just got a little bit boring. Like, we became normal to each other. Like, now we're just glorified. It's like, that's like what it is. That's why.
Like, we never went hang gliding.
Right. Like, dude.
Yeah.
You committed your life and you bought a house. Like, what do you think? You think it's always going to be like interesting and spicy? It's like,
sexy.
No. Like, this is what you decided. Like,
also, he said that he wanted her to skinny dip more. She did this season. You know who didn't? Raquel. Who wore her dress, which, by the way, the dress that she wore at Sheena's wedding is called the Arena dress. It's literally almost spelled Ariana. Yeah, it's crazy.
I love that kind of
weird
stuff, though. I love that kind of stuff. Those little coincidences really tickle
me. I know. Okay, should we get back to the signs? What's Schwartzy's sign? I saw somewhere that he had like 6 placements of Libra.
Well, let's take a look. Let's check the charts. Tom Schwartz. Let me just double check. Because actually, this might be wrong.
I know, that's the thing. Sometimes it could be wrong, especially these people. I mean, if there's anyone that we talk about in this podcast who's likely to be lying about their age, it's reality stars.
Okay, wait a second. Actually, you might be totally... Wow, you just saved the pod. You just saved the pod. Wow. Okay, wait, I take it back. Everything I said was wrong. Wait, what? This was wrong. He actually is a Libra sun, Libra... He's a new moon in Libra. Wow, Remy, you saved the pod. He's a Libra, Mercury, Venus, Moon, Sun, Saturn, and Pluto. He is not a Gemini moon as we originally thought.
How did we do that?
I had a typo. But all the things will apply. But actually, even wow, I'm so glad you said that. Even more than ever, yet this guy is like the old. When I look at the chart, it's like the ultimate people pleaser who actually has no sense of, I don't want to say like himself, but like he has no backbone. He literally, wow, this is crazy. I'm so glad we corrected that. He's not a Gemini moon. He is a Libra moon. He was born on a new moon in Libra, but that new moon in Libra also was with the exact conjunction between Saturn and Pluto. There also was Venus and Mercury together. So he's literally like here as a walking relationship wound, almost like showing us how we all need to mature in relationship.
Hilarious.
Wow. Wait, Schwartz is showing us how to mature in a relationship?
Well, he's showing us how not to be.
Yeah, by being the walking example of what happens when you try to just have everybody
please
like
everyone.
You. He ultimately is creating new. He's like having like as the walking example, he's killing old patterns.
He sees Lala getting lip injections and Randall being a predator. Same plane.
Right. Right. He's
like, there's two sides and they're equal.
He's completely into just like making the, like picking the nicest version of the story and going with it, even though it's completely out of reality.
I hate that. You know what I hate? I hate when you're friends with someone and you're telling them that someone else you both know who they're not even friends with is a dick. And they're like, well, I don't want to take sides. And you're like, well, no, like this is very like you're closer with me and I'm very clearly being wronged.
Or instead of like don't even be like, I don't want to take sides, because like you clearly are. If you're backing that, if you're saying like the other person's right, like you can still hold space for your friend.
Yeah,
right. It's like an inadvertent way of saying like, I don't want to talk about this because I don't want to tell you that you're wrong. It's like, just tell me I'm right.
I think that's the most lily livered shit. Because I'm a Taurus moon, so I do have a little bit of that mobster in me where I'm like, we need a little bit of omerta, you know, if we're friends. Like, I don't know, because I'm thinking of a specific person and I'm literally thinking of middle school. That's how long I've held the grudge for. Like,
hilarious.
Like literally me being bullied by mean boys and being like, I can't believe these boys are doing this. Yeah. And because the boys were cool, her being like, well, I don't want to take a side and they're really nice to me. And I'm like, what?
Pick me, choose me, love me. Right. Fuck off.
Yeah, right. I guess that's Libra energy. It is. My daughter's going to be a Libra. I need to make sure she's not like that. I need her to have something a little bit
No, I don't know
more.
If that's Libra, if that's fucking patriarchy.
Well, right. But it's sort of like a little bit of, it's like Libra in the patriarchy.
Yeah. It's like, well, boys, they do end up helping out sometimes.
They do have upper body strength.
Well, I feel like this Succession finale actually sort of says it all, where it's like, at the end of the day, the patriarchy wins. And it's like Shiv won because of her marriage. Like the need for men and the need for women to be aligned with men, I think, is still very present.
But also like her femininity in that moment, I'm not married to this, but that was her ace in the hole, because she was like the only one who out of those three was able to provide an heir, quote unquote. And like, because she's married to a man who works for the company and used her as a springboard, like
womb scans and womb scans.
Yes, exactly. Wombs. And like I think it's just another, I think she's exploiting her own like gender in a
but
way.
But that's the whole thing.
No, she thinks, this is the thing with Shiv, she thinks it would be better to be aligned with him than her family, because she knows that she can use her feminine wiles over him, like, eventually. And, yep. You know, whatever. Like, that's the power that she's been shown she has, even with Mattson.
Yeah.
It was like their relationship was based on the fact that, yeah, she was willing to betray people, but also he wanted to fuck her.
Exactly. Like, she was using that.
And so she'll
that.
Never be genuinely respected. I don't know if she was, but it just is, it's part of it. It's like a blessing and a curse.
In this culture, at least.
And for yes. that character yeah. specifically, because the thing is, she's not actually yeah. doing a real job at any point in the show, right. much like her brothers. They're just wheeling and dealing.
She is the only one who had a job outside of Waystar, though.
I know. Yeah, she did. But she just not anymore.
But even there, she had a relationship with Nate.
Oh, wait, you guys, can we? I just want to quickly do this. So my friend asked me last night, she goes, who would the Vanderpump people be on Succession? And I was with my friend Sophie Ross, who is like a media mastermind. And so she says, Ariana is Tom.
Hold on. I need to think and I need a visual. I need to Google both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I'm going to write it down. This okay. is really fun.
Ironically.
Ram, you're born for podcasting.
Ironically, Ariana is Tom because she comes out on top. And
wait, there's too many Toms.
Tom Wamscans.
Wamscans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God, to add another Tom into the
it's
Toms.
It's always about Tom.
Tom.
James is Roman. Duh. Raquel. Oh, yep. Raquel is yep. Greg.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Logan is Lisa. Duh.
Ob. Yeah.
And then Sophie, or my other friend was like, wait, does that make Ken Todd Marsha? And I'm like, sure, like, for all yeah. intents and purposes,
yes. yeah
sure.
yes.
And
who's
then
Kendall?
Tom Sandoval.
Sandoval, definitely.
Oh, Sandoval is Kendall.
Kendall.
Okay.
Yeah, like, just like out here making a fool of himself and thinking that he like
L to the OG.
I was literally gonna say L to the OG.
Oh my god.
L to the OG. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Perfect. And then who
Succession
was Shiv?
So perfect. We did it with the royal family once too, and it was just perfect. Sorry, who's Shiv?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Schwartz.
Yeah.
Schwartz.
Like, try and just play all the sides.
Play all the sides.
Isn't
you can
that
flip
Connor?
On a dime.
I think that's Connor.
I feel like Connor is more like, I don't know, like, who's just like out of it? Like, Lala's got his own thing going on. Like, she's like, although Lala yeah. really is fighting.
No, Lala is like, Willa.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Not really, but like, you know, she has her own house now.
No, Lala's true.
She has her own house.
I mean, I guess that's a win. I mean, in a way, Raquel is Willa. But
Willa has come out completely on top. Willa is shipping off her husband to Slovenia and is redoing Logan Roy's apartment.
Yeah, true.
Raquel thought she was going to end up like Willa. Right.
I think that's what Raquel thought. Yeah, I think that she thought that this was like brilliant reality TV game. Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to win the pageant.
I love that Ariana also only. Yeah, literally. She's like, this. I've been here before. I love that Ariana only calls her Rachel now. Like on I just think that's such a dig.
Like
I love
too,
it
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
It is funny to change your name from Rachel to Raquel. I mean, come on.
It's old. Raquel changing her name from Rachel to Raquel is giving Juliet Simone from Center Stage. Juliet Simone.
Oh my God.
Her name is Julie Simon.
Her name is Julie Simon from New Jersey.
She's from Perth Amboy. Yeah.
What an absolute from the treasure trove reference, Remy. I'm blown away.
Amazing.
It's also giving Lydia Tarr.
Yeah. What do you think is like, okay, and now we're also being unfair because, and I'm being unfair because
we don't call Jax Jason and we don't call Lauren or Lala Lauren.
And like, yeah, well, they're douchebags too. So it's different. I think it's like, when do we respect someone's name change? That's what I'm wondering.
I think when it's been from childhood. Like, I think Lala, that was Lauren's nickname growing up.
Yeah, but Jax was his stage name. And also, like, whenever people change their names, I'm always, like, I changed my name to Kelly when I was 7 because I thought I met my cousin's babysitter was Kelly and she was so hot. And I was like, I want to be Kelly. My parents respected that my name was Kelly for a summer. They wrote my name on lunch bags and everything. Like,
aww,
I think we stopped respecting them, like, if it has nothing to do with gender, and if they're an evil human. But again, I don't call Raquel Rachel. I'm just like, oh, that's the Raquel character she's created.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Because how come if it's gender, it's allowed, but if you just want to seem a little bit cooler, it's not?
Because one thing is something way deeper.
Yeah, right. It's such a shallow attempt at trying to look like you're more interesting than you are. It's like, how about just
it's giving Hilaria Baldwin.
Hilaria is exactly what we're talking about.
I'm just trying to think because I'm like, shouldn't we all be the person of our own creation?
Yeah, and we've let her do that until we found out she's a liar face.
Well, right. Yeah, until the affair, we were fine with Rachel being Raquel. Like, we totally get it.
But that being said, I've never dead named Caitlyn Jenner after she murdered people.
Right.
Like,
right, because she's an asshole.
She's a huge asshole. Like,
yeah. Here's what I think it is. I think you have to be a full different letters, everything. Norma Jean to Marilyn. Mm. That we respect because we're like, okay, you're not trying to trick us. You just straight up said Norma Jean Baker does not work for me. I am Marilyn Monroe. Whereas if she just was like, no, I'm Normel, you would have been like,
Normel.
Shut up.
Normel Jean Baker would be.
I don't know. This being said, I don't know if Rachel would have gotten on the show. I don't know if Jason would have gotten on the show. I don't know if Lauren would have gotten on the show. They LA-ified themselves a little bit.
I was going to say it's LA. This is all a little too LA for me personally. I think I don't.
A little too Lala? A little too La?
A little too La? What do you think G Flip's real name?
Yeah, G Flip. I can't respect that. What is Sorry.
G Flip is Chrishell Stause's partner on Selling Sunset. I don't know what their government name is, but it's also their name.
Their government name is Georgia Claire Flippo.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't want to dead name anybody.
It is derived from the real name, but it's silly because you're Australian. What are you, G Flip? You're not a G.
I think they're a rapper.
Yeah, like you're not a gangster.
J Flip. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like they're a rapper. Anyway, back to the reunion number two at Han. Also, Remy, if you want to join us after the actual bombshell next week, you are more than welcome. We must talk about Rachel's big talk to the group.
Okay, well, here's what you need to know, Sarah, about Bravo. There ain't going to be no bombshell. It's going to be...
But they're teasing a big secret.
They do this every time. I spent this entire day trying to think of other times they did this at reunions and how it didn't deliver, and I could not think of any real examples.
The Bachelor does it too. This is the most explosive finale in Bachelor history. And it's always like, it's a pretty similar finale to most of the Bachelor history finales.
They get engaged and then 2 months later, they've already broken up.
Yeah, they stretch it out for the ratings.
I think the big reveal has nothing to do with the scandal. I think it's that they're doing a Vanderpump Vegas spinoff and they'll have to decide whether they want to stay on Rules or Vegas.
That's actually so smart because the way that they've been teasing it is like that might actually have them questioning whether they're going to continue on the show at all. And it's like, oh, it actually might not be a big scandalous thing. It might be because there's another opportunity. Oh my God. There's another contract. That's so smart.
That being said, I do think Raquel is going to reveal by accident the timeline, the real timeline in her one-on-one with Andy. I think she's going to say something like, okay, so da da da, whatever. And he's going to be like, wait, but that was when you were dating James. And she's like, and then they're alone. So he's going to kiki with her and make her seem like it's okay or whatever. And she's going to open up. I think. We'll see.
Does she even know all the months though?
I felt sad for her though, where they were like during the interview where he was like, when was it that like things changed? And she's like, I just felt really like seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I do feel for her to whatever degree, just because like, what a sad person. Like she just is like a really like unfortunate soul.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, if the dog had not died and she had stayed on that trip and she had a friend who was there for her, would all of this have happened if this is the genuine timeline? Because I don't think Ariana would have let them go in as hard on her. and she wouldn't have had to leave the trip. And, but also furthermore, I don't think she appreciates or values women's support as much as she does men's. She is a beauty pageant queen. Yes, she is used to being judged by men and pitted against other women.
Right. She's literally like a competitor, or she's only competitive against women, and her work is to win the affection of men.
My favorite thing, like, these days is if Ben does anything wrong, I'm like, oh, you're literally Tom Sandoval.
You're Tom Sandoval, so funny.
You're literally Tom Sandoval.
Isn't it fun to watch this show with a male partner? This is what, like, it's just the best. I just take out the sins of all men on my husband while we watch this show together. I'm like, do you see these assholes? Do you see what they're doing?
It actually is bringing couples closer together.
But when they watch with you and they're like, this man is insane, you're like, I know, I love you. Yeah. My biggest I love you moment was the Uber One commercial was on, the Good as Gold one.
I don't get to see the real commercials because I'm in Europe.
Oh, it's so good. And there's this moment where Lala chimes in, and Ben did it while I was just like watching a TikTok of it and like kind of singing along. And then he pipes up and goes, savings.
That is such a way. Hey, advertising agency. Mm-hmm. Great work.
Great work.
You did it. We're with you. We're singing the jingle. And to turn the song into a jingle is like best case scenario.
Oh, everybody was singing along at the party last night, at the viewing party.
It's amazing.
We sang Good as Gold. We all sang the theme song. It was like,
that's so fun.
Do you like, it was so fun.
My husband really likes Below Deck, and I
love Below Deck.
I really keep one eye on him the whole time. And I'm like, what do you think about the way these men are behaving? And I'm like,
yeah, what do you think of Gary?
Yes. I'm like, do you think that's cool? Do you think he's your bro, or do you think he's a dick? And he's like, And
he's like, Gary's wild. I would never.
Yeah.
I see myself more as a Colin. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good,
he always gets it right.
That's so funny.
Okay. Can I point out a signs thing from this cast?
Please.
My favorite thing about the reunions thus far has been the Battle of the Virgos, which we have the old guard of Virgo, Lisa Vanderpump, who has been the master manipulator of this entire show, executive producer.
Amazing.
Amazing for all intents and purposes. And then we have Lala, the new guard of Virgo, who is all about women supporting women. Whereas Lisa is on one side saying, Lala, it's dangerous to say that Tom is dangerous.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Like, she is has always been so pick me, kind of. And I don't think I would love to see Lisa go back to Beverly Hills and actually duke it out with women her own age who she doesn't. Like,
I know, but
over.
They already beat her. Like, I hate to say it because
they beat her.
The show was better with her on it. But that's what's the central contradiction of LVP is. She's a Virgo sun, Scorpio rising. She should
Cancer moon.
She should be able to pull these levers ad nauseum on. She should have 20 TV shows where she's pulling the levers. But she always starts to falter at a certain point. Like, she started to accidentally, like, the seams were showing on Beverly Hills and there was a mutiny.
Yeah.
And now the same thing is happening on the show that bears her name. So it's just like, LVP, come on. Like, what do you think she could do differently to, like, be a more successful Virgo sun, Scorpio rising?
She needs to be more supportive of the women on the show. Like, I saw the other day when Katie and Ariana like came to her being like, we're going to start the sandwich shop. She was just kind of like, ugh.
Sandwiches. The girls.
Ugh.
I mean,
like, do you really want to do this? And then they were like, yeah, I mean, maybe ours will be even better than the boys. And then she switches gears into, oh, I have a little quip. You know what I always say? Don't get mad, get even. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. We're still with these men at this point.
I think she might be a product of her generation, which doesn't get okay, but it does.
Yeah.
Explain it a little.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
Raquel is also a Virgo sun, and Ariana is a Virgo moon.
Whoa.
This is a big time Virgo shit show.
I didn't know Raquel was repping us this way.
It's bad. It's a bad look for the Virgos. But
Yeah, Virgo is not the sign you would think of as being on reality television. Like, it's very much not. It's like Capricorn.
No, you're right.
Except on a service-oriented
right,
show.
Which this is. Oh, my God, you're so right. You're always right.
That's why. It's because it's a restaurant show.
Wait, what do we like about service? Are Virgos service?
Virgos are service. Virgos are here to serve. They are the fixer, healer, mm-hmm. Karl Lagerfeld, ultimate Virgo. Like, they can take anything and make it better. They're here to serve. That's why we did our last episode. We did, like, who do we think the characters of Succession are astrologically? We're like, Tom, Virgo, mm-hmm. Virgo. Because Virgos are really here to provide help.
I mean, I'll do this podcast next week.
We got a Virgo on our hands, baby.
We'll do whatever you need.
You must serve us.
And in exchange, I get screen time.
Exactly. We'll make you a star, baby. We'll make you a star.
Thank you.
It's funny, too, because, like, she sides with the boys on this show. And when she was on Beverly Hills, she lived to just pit women against each other. Mm-hmm. Like, she literally, like, she would find women younger than her and more vulnerable because they weren't as rich. They didn't have a powerful husband. And she would make them do her bidding. Mm-hmm. Like, she really is, like... I love her so much, but she has such an evil side to her.
I do too. I literally, no, this season has been hard for me and also just like kind of growing as a person. I'm like, oh no, I see you now. And like Lisa, way back in the day when Beverly Hills first started, I DM'd her on Twitter, Lisa Vanderpump, I want to be you when I grow up. And she wrote back,
Oh my God, what an iconic response. She's just the I best. Know. I don't care. She's good TV.
And now I'm like, oh shit, I've been growing up a little and now I'm seeing you for these cracks.
It's okay. We all have cracks. It's okay.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Hey,
that's where poop comes from.
Look, Virgo loves the body. But speaking of Virgos and the cracks, did you guys watch the Randall scan?
No, I can't look at that pig of a man.
No, and I can try to do that before next
week. Oh my God, let's watch and then discuss it next week. It is okay. I'll watch again. It's worth a discussion because I'm just curious about all of your takes on it, especially as how it relates to Lala and this
show. We will
show.
Discuss. He
almost pulled a Raquel here where he was like, oh, I'm a fan of this and like, I'm going to go there and get her.
A Randell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we'll talk about that. I do have to go.
Oh my God, like, it's been 2 hours. Sure. How do we do this every time? We're a menace. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is fun. We are doing great, but
no,
I
this
do
is a
have
pleasure.
To
this is joy of my life. But okay,
yeah.
So
let's get everyone else's signs. So Ariana, her sun is what?
Ariana is a Cancer sun, Virgo moon.
Okay. And Tom, well, we know that their relationship has already crashed and burned, but do Cancer usually work out?
They can.
Sometimes they can, but the thing about Cancer is that, like, as a Cancer myself, and also, like, Randy's a Cancer, like, so that's a Cancer. It's like, we each want to be taken care of.
Hence my question.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, sometimes it's battling over, like, Cancer sons, like, we have a rap of being, like, we're the mommies, but it's like, no, actually, like, Cancer sons want to be mommy.
We need mommies. They need a mommy. I also think, Sandoval probably has a personality disorder. And when that's happening, like, it kind of trumps astrology. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, at the end of the day, people are just people and we can't attribute the Sandoval to an entire sign.
Yeah.
Right. And also, I think if you want to see, though, how the Cancer relationship may play out, it makes perfect sense that these two would be totally simpatico in as dysfunctional as their relationship is. They're like, you know what, but like, let's get a home together and we'll have our own private shell where we're dysfunctional or even ignore each other, but like, together we're comfortable at home, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, to have the home be the thing that they're bound by is so Cancer.
Okay, did we get Sheena's sign?
Taurus sun sag moon.
James Kennedy?
Aquarius
sun Libra moon.
Okay.
So that's why he likes to be the voice of God when he's telling someone off. He's just like, you are the blah, 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 blah. Because he's an Aquarius. He thinks he's in charge. He thinks he knows everything. That segment on his drinking was quite disturbing. Just the way that, like, they were like, oh yeah, you got so drunk that you sexually harassed a waitress and she had to sign a waiver. And he's like, I make 10 times more money DJing than you ever will. And it was like, oh shit, you have a serious problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, honestly, most of the men on this show has been acting as like covers for the other men on the show. Like, we didn't see how horrible Sandoval and Schwartz were for a long time because Jax was like out Jaxing mm-hmm. them, you know? And like, even now some people like are like, oh, but poor Schwartz. I'm like, if Sandoval wasn't around, you would see Schwartz as the person who cheated on his wife constantly and dumped beverages on her and her friends' heads. Like, that would stick out to us a little more.
People were comparing Kendall Roy yelling, I'm the eldest boy, to Jax. It was very funny.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think any straight woman who moves to LA with a dream in her pocket and a, you know, a dream in her cardigan or whatever is fucking braver mm-hmm. than I will ever be. Like, to be a single straight woman dating it, to be a straight woman with a husband in LA, I just think you're brave. You're
it
like,
seems tough. Yeah, it seems really
storm
tough.
The beaches at Normandy because you'll win, you know? But I don't know, just the part where he sexually harassed a waitress while he was working was really
totally insane. And I hate that Tom was the one who had to bring it up because it looked like deflection. But like, it's like, again, his scandal dwarfs everything because it's like, shut up, yeah. Tom.
I know. And it is kind of funny that, like, I mean, he was making points in this episode, I have to say. Like, some of the things that he was saying, it was distracting me a little bit from the Scandoval because they didn't spend that much time this episode on that.
No, they want to leave us chomping at the bit. They only gave Raquel 6 minutes at the end that she came out. We got to see her with the group.
This is what they do, Sarah. The way they got you on the hook for this episode in the trailer was showing her walk in and go, hi, Andy. And then that happened in the last 30 seconds. Like, they do this every time, Sarah. Mm-hmm. It's Bravo trademark.
We got hosed. Also, how weird. She walks in the green dress and then Sandoval's like, green light, go. Like, what?
Okay, so what I think about green light, because
what is that
he
mean?
Said it actually right before the Xanax. So oh. I think the Xanax, again, was a prop. I think Schwartz pulled it out when Tom said green light, because he's like, Raquel is coming, look at her and be nervous. Like, show how crazy this is really affecting us. I don't know. That could be really far-fetched. But green light, to me, I was like, what the f- what?
Yeah, what was green light?
Weird. I didn't even notice that. I saw someone say, some pageant coach must have said to Raquel that mint green is her color because she always wears it. And she does. The girl looks good in a mint green
frock. It's the only consistent thing about this woman.
Yeah.
How Virgo, the earth.
Oy vey. I can't believe this.
Yeah, like, I start to feel bad for her the more I see how affectless she is, because I'm just like, she's not even on this planet. Like, she.
Yeah, it's like, what's wrong?
Yeah, I'm just like, this girl.
But she's also told us a lot is wrong. She doesn't know who she is.
I'm sad for her.
I'm sad for her too, man. That's why I do think about that trip. I'm like, if Ariana had stayed on that trip, like, would everything be different? I don't know. But that's a lot of, like, lifting for Ariana to do.
I don't think, because I think she probably would have. I mean, if you're the type of person who can have a 7-month affair with your best friend's boyfriend, the opportunity is not, like, you're going to find that opportunity. Do you know
what
I
mean? Yeah.
But I think the most damning thing about it is the fact that she has to keep admitting that it happened on a girls trip. And I'm like, you are the most non-girls girl ever. Like,
ever. And this being said, I am also a recovering pick me. And I'm a Virgo.
That's big to say.
That Listen, to you say. Guys, you have to be able to own your shit or you cannot move forward.
Yeah, it's true.
I remember at one point in my life, somebody said to me, if they're not married, you could still date them, you know?
No.
And so I would think of any of my friends as an option still. And I always, because I was so laden by the patriarchy, like, I wouldn't actually go. No, that's not true. In eighth grade, I did hook up with my friend's boyfriend.
That's not Sarah.
No. It's really bad. It's really bad. But I also was very.
I don't know why Dutch slut makes it okay. I don't know. Sorry. Keep going.
No, I was just very convinced that patriarchy and abiding by the patriarchy was the only way that you were going to survive. So why even make female friendships if your end goal is to get a husband?
Wow. Where did you get that idea?
Oh, man. I grew up in New York City. I witnessed some really intense cheating around me all the time. Any man that was powerful I saw would be cheating for years. Yeah, I don't know. I thought at one point, wow, it's so powerful to be a mistress because you really have an effect on these families that are going to talk about you for years and stuff.
Talk about looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. But again, I did have that girl reach out to me after I hooked up with her boyfriend who told me they were on a break and that it was okay. And she was so distraught. And I had this long fucking conversation with her about her past and all of this stuff and mine and like where we were coming from. And her and I are so good now. Like we're That's in great. Our 30s. Like, I don't think everybody is doomed to be the way that they were, but you have to own your shit first. You cannot move forward without looking back.
And you have a conscience.
That's what we're missing, though. We're talking about, like, what do we want from Raquel and Sandoval? It's that. And I don't think that we can get that from them until the future. It does take a looking back that they both haven't seemed to do.
And, like, their frontal lobes are fully developed now, even Raquel's, such as it is.
Right. Eighth grade, we forgive you, Remy. We forgive you, eighth grade.
You're not fully processing cause and effect. You're just literally not. So it's once you get up to past a certain age and you're literally like, oh, I don't care. I just loved it. It's like, no, you're defective.
Well, this has been thrilling, you guys. We will wrap this up, even though we could go on and on and on. And we'll be back next week with our special guest, Remy Casimir. But until then, just listen to this on repeat, even if it's silent, just for the listens, I guess.
And join the Patreon.
Yeah. And then if you can get the extended version on Peacock, you guys, we can discuss those scenes too.
Okay. Yeah. Extended version on Peacock. And Molly, there's a way for me to help you watch it. I will. I'll video it for you. We got to watch Scandal and Mistakes.
I know. I'm hoping next week's reunion episode will be meaty enough that we don't need to talk about that dude, but I will try to watch it.
It's simply not a reliable prediction. Like, it seems like these are pretty flimsy. And yet and still, we have 2 hours of brilliant content that I'm going to edit now. And so, you know, we can turn lemons into lemonade.
I think that reunions always feel like a letdown, like at the end, but then like you watch them five more times and you're like, we really did get a lot of great TV.
Yeah. I think it's because, like, you're looking for that one thing that satisfies, like, that scratches that itch. But actually, right, there's a lot that we didn't even talk about yet that I have on my notes where I'm like, oh, this is sort of interesting. This is sort of interesting. So, yeah, it's like, just go. I think maybe the stringing it out to three is good for us as creators, as analysts, as critics, because we can sort of take our time with the unfolding of it all. And next week, I can't wait to discuss whatever you've come to in the time in between.
For sure.
Yeah.
Join the Patreon. Follow Remy. I can't believe Sandoval doesn't. And join the Patreon. And
thank you, Remy.
Thanks, guys. This was so fun. I love you both.
I love you, Remy. Thank you. Okay. Love you, Molly. Love you. And Molly, I listened to everything you say. I was just gassing Remy up. I wanted to come back next week and it worked.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know if I believe you.
Forgive me.
I'm being insecure. I'm being an insecure S&M Catholic Capricorn. So don't worry.
Hell yeah, bro. Let's all get off to that this week and we'll see you guys next week. Okay, bye.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.